You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul. It's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi, Carl.
Yeah, John's still out. He's, do I say out strange? Do my outs sound weird to you?
All your vowels sound weird to me, Carl.
Okay. Yeah. John is out. He's still working, making up for that, I don't know, that week of joy.
Yeah, they're going to suck out their retribution, I'm sure, yeah. For a long time coming.
Yeah, yeah. Korea, they give it one hand, take with the other two, so,
yes. Yeah. I'm no longer so jealous.
Yeah, you were, briefly, but yeah, so John is out again this week, so after, I think, he might even be forced to pay another weekend.
Well, he got 5 days off. It seems to me that he should have to work for, like, 5 weekends, and just because that would add up to 10 days is not the office's problem.
Very, very true. Yeah. Since John never listens to the podcast when he's not on, maybe he won't know that what's a-coming. Yeah, so poor John, he's been working hard. So it's just Jennifer and I, or as we would say in Windsor, me and Jennifer. I guess we should get right into our snack of the week. It's another one of those wonderful chocolate bars, and this is called, Jennifer...
It is a kika.
Kicker.
In English, but yeah. Korean says kika.
And now, it may be hard to figure out kind of what the chocolate bar is from, you know, the packaging and the name even. What chocolate bar does it resemble?
It is the identical, completely identical twin clone of a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah.
Down to the packaging.
Yeah, sort of the
which,
red.
Which has two capital Ks with the other letters in small lowercase letters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This would actually almost fool me. It's so close. The only one that really fooled me was... it was not Puma socks, but Imma socks. Yeah, that fooled me. But yeah, that kicka.
Actually, when I first came to Korea, I thought this was the Korean, like, official Kit
Kat. Oh, right.
Kat,
okay.
Like, just the Mars brand.
Right.
And it was only when Kit Kat was actually introduced. Oh, and opening the package, I see it actually does not say kicker on the bar. It says tit bit.
Really?
Which I think in British English is tidbit, but for those of us who are American, that's really humorous.
Okay. Yeah, and but not made by whatever company. It's made by a Korean company called Crown. Yeah. Pay attention to really the subtle flavors of the taste, but do you not detect just a hint of airplane glue?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
I think perhaps when I first came to Korea, and at that time there really was not, like, there was Crunky bars,
right,
and such, like, there wasn't Snickers and all that. And so when I saw a kicker, I was a little bit excited. And I think at the time I was a bit chocolate deprived and couldn't really notice. But now with the passage of time, there is definitely a strong chemical, not even an aftertaste. A middle taste.
Exactly.
A foretaste.
Exactly. A middle note. To me, it just tastes like, not that I ate a lot of airplane glue as a child, but I mean...
Just, you know, enough to know.
I was around it. It's always that, you know, it's the smell that, you know, becomes the taste kind of thing. So, yeah. But, I don't know. So, it's almost, we could have almost had this set for an English t-shirt find. But,
yeah.
I thought, hey, kill two birds with one stone, make it a... the snack of the week. All right, so yeah.
No. I wonder if Titbit was the original name, and it was easier to change the packaging than to change the the mold.
You know, my other favorite almost dead-on look-alike clone is there's a cracker called V7 cracker. You know, instead of V8 sort of tomato juice or vegetable juice, there's the V7 cracker. I mean, same font, same packaging, everything, but, you know, it's a cracker.
Well, Jek crackers, or Zek, as they're called in English, it's such a Ritz clone. The box looks exactly like Ritz crackers.
That's true. The red packaging.
And the crackers actually do taste a lot like a Ritz. Yeah. So if you're in Korea and... Yeah, well, of course. That goes without saying. Goes without saying. It's got to have that extra spoonful of sugar.
Right.
Yeah. Spoonful of sugar helps the cracker go down.
Okay. Yeah, and the other thing I should get to in the introductions is I got to do a retraction.
Oh, okay.
A few weeks ago, we had a... I had a little story about Hana Bank was sending its, you know, women in their sort of their late 20s.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
To marry them off.
Yeah, trying to get them married off. And my theory was that, contrary to what their press release was saying about how it's a bank that cares about its people, that they were just trying to get them married off so they would quit on their own and
hire their cute little 22-year-old replacements instead of their haggard old 30-year-old.
Exactly. They
women.
Don't got. Yeah, they don't have to try and, you know, lay these women off or something. And but as it turns out, I saw another news story about how Hana Bank, they're actually trying to hire Ajumas, middle-aged women. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if that's everywhere. I think that might have been one specific branch,
really?
If I'm not mistaken. Yes, I saw that article. I was quite surprised.
Yeah.
Okay. Except that I realized, In my own bit of cynicism, that it is relatively hard for Ajumas to get, you know, a fair shot at jobs, at, you know, regular jobs like those. So they might have sort of slave labor type of working conditions.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I mean, that, you know, what job is not slave labor working conditions?
Yeah. Since I've been riding the subway so much lately, I've noticed some of the job advertisements, not the official advertisements that are actually paid for and put on the subways, but the clever ones that people just stick into the lip of the frame.
All right. Is that what that crap is that they put in the lip of, you know, on the subway?
Yeah, those are job ads.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they, a lot of them will clearly state the age range, and the age range for men is always broader.
Right, of course.
And then it'll state the wages, and the wages are always higher for the men.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Same job. Because women, they're just going to spend their money on makeup and dresses, you know.
Shoes.
Men, they got to take care of a family.
Right, exactly. Yes. There's no single mothers in Korea, so, you know, screw them.
That was an attitude that was actually expressed by girlfriend back in early university. That was a guy in her class actually expressed that concept of why, you know, why it wasn't, you know, why it was actually fair to pay men more for the same job, because, you know, men got to take care of a family, and women, they're just going to spend their money, you know, all their money on shoes and makeup. Yeah. So not an actual Canadian attitude.
Yeah.
Hopefully not a universally Canadian attitude, but as heard in Canada. So.
Well, the army or the military pays you per dependent a little bit extra.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's unlimited. I don't remember. But I do remember, like, if you were married, you got a little bit of extra money. And some of the people that I knew would be like, well, you know, you got to take care of your family or whatever. And somebody else is like, well, what if it's your choice not to take care of a family and to be single? Why should you be penalized with your pay?
Sure.
You know. And certainly a single soldier is better able to serve in the military, you know, go somewhere at a moment's notice or whatever, which even when there's no combat situations going on, there are like always training exercises or whatever that, you know, some people have to spend like every weekend practically out doing something.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever.
But you know, the Chables here, they pay extremely well.
Do they?
Yeah. If you're, you know, salary man or salary woman, you know, they pay very, very well. And all sorts of crazy benefits they pay to their employees and stuff like that. But because Korea's got a very low income tax rate, like 3.5%.
Yes.
But then it's
it goes up to 7.7.
Ooh. So, but you know, the downside, it's totally pay-as-you-go society.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the public education is, there's still tuition, things like that. Medicine, you know, going to the doctor, all those kinds of things. So, and then, so the chables kind of, you know, take what the state would normally do back in at least Canada. The chables, the large companies do here. So they kind of understand that, you know, there's going to be one, usually a male, and he's going to be taking care of a wife, two kids, two aged parents. And so they, you know, they kind of pay him a commensurate salary with that understanding, And in return, he devotes his entire life.
All waking hours.
To the company, you know, and he's just, you know, rah-rah company man. And so, you know, he will provide your, the company will provide your family a life, but you will provide your life to the company.
Yes.
So that's kind of the understood transaction. But, you know, it occurs to me that, you know, Koreans are going to kind of wake up to this deal. Like, they're going to be going, well, wait a second. If I remain single, you know, I don't get married, I don't have kids. Or just, I get married, but my wife and I don't have kids, you know. We're going to live, we could live a really good life. She's working, I'm working, you know.
Think of the Hagwon tuition alone.
Yeah, exactly. Not having to pay the education costs for children. It's not going to be too long before, you know, we're kind of, you know, how we live our lives in North America kind of thing.
Well, it's already happening now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the government is really worried because the birth rate is dropped below 2.
What is that, 1.2% or something? Or what, 1.7?
It's like 1.7 now, I think.
Oh, yeah, it bumped up
a little bit.
But
it's not a replacement level.
No, yeah, yeah.
Anymore. And that's just been in, like, one generation.
Yeah.
You know, like, even in the 70s and early 80s, it was like 5 or something. So it's... plummeted.
Well, I mean, it was just like, I mean, maybe a generation ago, 20 years ago, that there was actually a, you know, stop having damn kids campaign right here.
Yeah, a really big one.
Yeah, the slogan was, even two is too many.
Yes.
Yeah, that was sort of the slogan. So, it's, you know, Koreans, they do, the government tells them to do something, they obey. And, you know, so, yeah.
Well, you can't really blame them now, though. There's so much pressure on parents to just spend
on
their kids, and, you know, all the pressure to send their kids overseas to school.
Yeah.
And that's got to be so much stress.
Yeah. Now, I guess number one complaint to the government is basically education costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why the government just seems to have its head up the education union's butt. I mean, they really do. The education union just has to say, we don't like those ideas. And they're like, okay, never mind. And the ideas can be something really, what I would think, non-threatening, such as making sure that all of the teachers are capable of teaching. like anything at all where there is even the slightest whiff of accountability.
Right, yes.
You know, the education union is like, no. And the government's like, okay, we give up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's such a kind of disparity. Like, on the street, I mean, it's such a free market, you know, on the street. Everybody's selling something, and but then at the government level, there's this kind of, like, we've got to totally level the playing field for absolutely everybody, you know. Nobody should have any advantage at all in Korea, you know, and we have these most draconian laws possible to sort of, you know, totally even the playing field. Yeah, I don't know. There's a definite kind of disconnect, I think, between.
Yeah. That's why even until a couple of years ago, it was illegal for Koreans to do private tutoring.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just an E2 visa violation. But I think part of that was because the public school teachers were moonlighting with their own students.
No doubt. Oh, wait, actually, I wanted to mention about the kicker bars. I almost didn't bring them in. I was going to give them away. I went to Starbucks today, and you know, the cops were just downtown. We're out in droves, kind of policing all the anti-free trade protests and stuff like that. And so... So I went into Starbucks, and kind of the little covered patio area, there was like about five of these Korean cops who just
hard at work.
Yeah, well,
keeping the peace at the Starbucks.
You know, the calm before the storm, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I had my coffee, and then I thought, oh, those poor cops, because they're not the real cops. They're just the, you know, the poor kids who have got to do their national service, and they get the job as the riot cops, and
yeah,
and
lucky them.
Yeah, and they just get their ass beaten all the time by, you know, disgruntled farmers and stuff like that.
They get to shoot them with rubber bullets, so it, you know, it evens out.
That looks bad now. They don't do that anymore.
That's, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, because it, you know, it looks bad to the tourists and stuff, and it plays very badly on television. So it's just basically now that they just got to get their ass beaten. That's about the only thing they can do. So, yeah. So I was going to give them the kicker chocolate bars because they worked very hard, those poor guys. But by the time I got out of the Starbucks, they had, you know, they were on their feet and out there.
I think they make like $20,000 a month now, so they're being amply compensated for their time.
Yeah, not $20,000, $20 a month. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely the ones that get the injured the most of anybody, I think, doing their national service, the poor little riot cops.
Yeah, because there's, you know, demonstrations every day of the week, so they have, it's just the law of averages, really.
Yeah. Right, sorry, a main topic, I guess we might have mentioned this sort of last week about the rules. Encountering other foreigners, other whiteys on the street. You know, what are the rules? When can you talk to them? When are you not allowed to talk to them? Jennifer?
Well
there's big city and small city rules,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I told you my story of Dennis, Saskatchewan lush. And
was he? He was a Canadian, was he?
Yes.
All right.
He, in Chungju is, you know, such a small town, and
right,
things may have changed now. There may be, you know, considerably more foreigners.
Okay.
But at the time, any and every foreigner you saw was cause for celebration. And,
okay.
You know, stop what you're doing and immediately go have drinks together or whatever.
Right.
I've noticed now that I live in Pundong, it's quite a metropolitan and sophisticated place. And so even being from the south, where if you're walking past someone on the street, you'd smile at them because there's not that much opportunity to walk past people on the street unless you're in your neighborhood or whatever, where I live. Here, if you smile at people, they sort of look like you're on medication. So I've tried to, you know, I've been there about almost 4 years now, so I've cut down on my, I've cut down on my smiling at strangers a bit. Sometimes, you know, you just can't help it. It's your natural, my natural instinct is to smile at other foreigners, and so occasionally I get from other foreigners the "you're a crazy foreigner" look.
Right. Yeah.
But I can live with that.
So big city, no eye contact.
Yeah, I think it's the same, you know, just general big city rules that follow the world over.
Right. Okay.
Have you always lived in Seoul?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. I think I've been to like Busan on holiday and at the Suraksan for holiday, stuff like that. But yeah. All right. So no making eye contact. One thing I noticed too is, you know, as a subway is pulling into the station, if you see another whitey in the car, you're kind of obliged to go into the other car.
Right.
If you have the choice, you're kind of near the tail end. It's better to be in the other car without the whitey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of one of the rules. And if you get into a car and there's another whitey, don't sit near them.
Yes. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I got on the subway, and another foreigner got in the subway just as the car was about to leave.
Okay.
And I don't think he realized I was there, and he sat down, and there was nobody in between us, although he was, like, at the other end, because it was, it's the beginning of the line.
Right.
And, I looked over and saw I was a foreigner, and the look that he had on his face was just like, "Don't talk to me! Don't talk to me! Don't talk to me!" So I pulled out my iPod and put it on.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. How to avoid looks. Because, you know, it's like you're walking down the street and then suddenly, you know, in the distance you see another whitey coming at you. And your mind is suddenly like the bells are going off. Whitey alert, whitey alert, you know. And at first you're like, well, maybe he's just one of those Koreans that kind of look like a whitey.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Just at a distance, there's a certain point where it's like, there's some Koreans that you don't know at a distance. But no, sure enough, Christ, it's another foreigner. So it's like, what do I do? What do I do? So I just find, like, the iPod, yeah, that's the when you suddenly, like, I'm going to sort of adjust the bass setting on my you know, my iPod or my MP3 player.
Some intricate setting that needs about 27 seconds to adjust.
Exactly, yeah. So that's always good. And when are you allowed to talk to whiteys, big city whiteys?
Maybe at a cash register, like when you're both waiting in line or
sure.
something.
Sure, okay. All right. I find it's like Starbucks, you know, not in, like if you're both at the little milk bar pouring
sure.
your milk or something.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Then it's kind of like, you know, hey, where are you from? You know, then you're kind of allowed to ask that or something like that. Where are you from? Those kind of things, yeah.
Yeah, these days I pretty much just let the other person start the conversation if they want to, you know. Very anti-proactive, anti-active, inactive.
What's your theory on why we do this?
I don't know. I think for me,
okay,
because I can only speak for myself.
Sure, okay.
Like, kind of an awkwardness of being in a social situation where you are not exactly sure what the most appropriate action
sure,
would
right,
be.
Right.
Because you don't want to be the weirdo that does right. the wrong thing.
Okay. As a Southerner, you're Southerner.
Yes. And the natural instinct is to interact with someone. Although, that said, when I'm in the States and the person in line behind me starts telling me their life story, I really want to run away.
Okay.
I really don't want to know about their foot fungus or why their daughter ran away.
All
or,
right.
You know. But, yeah, that, for me it's just like that awkward, what am I supposed to do? I don't want to do the wrong thing.
Exactly. Like, yeah, you'd be just happy just to say, hello, how you doing?
Yeah.
How's your day? That kind of thing. But, you know, you don't want to piss them off or,
yeah.
you know, yeah, sort of get up all up in their business. And
yeah.
yeah. For me, there's it's multi-layered. You know, it's
okay.
it's really complicated. It's multi-layered. You know, one layer, there's the... Well, why would I say hello to you here when I wouldn't say hello to you
exactly.
in Toronto, yeah. right? Just because we're both white doesn't mean we got to talk to each other.
Yeah,
it's that,
yeah.
that racism, we don't want to be reverse racist kind of thing. The other one, too, is like, you don't want to kind of send a message to, like, Koreans, like, oh, they all just stick together, you know? there's something,
of course we do.
Yeah, there's something kind of weird about that. You want to seem like you... You know, being here doesn't freak you out. And, yeah, and then there's the well, expectations. Well, what does he expect me to do? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
yeah. And then there's kind of this layer where it's like, get out of my Korea. You know? because for the vast majority of us, you know, in our circle of friends, we're the only ones who know about Korea, right?
Yeah.
You're going, where? Korea. Like MASH? Well, yeah, but
right.
that's all over with, you know, that kind of
yeah.
thing. That's as much as people know, right?
Is that near Vietnam?
Yeah. So you get this idea, like, you're this pathfinder. You know,
yeah.
you're really blazing a trail. And you kind of entered in this fantasy, like, I'm going to be the only white person in Korea. You know? And then you're like, oh, Jesus, you know, there's another white person in Korea. Well, maybe I'm the only white person in Seoul. Oh, Christ, there's another white person in Seoul. Well,
in my building.
Exactly. You begin to like, well, maybe in my neighborhood, and then it's like on my street, in my building. Oh, and then that's, you know, then you just realize that you're not unique, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that kind of that, I want to go someplace where I'm going to be unique, you know. And, yeah. So you almost want to sort of like, it's like showing up at a, you know, prom and the other woman is wearing the same dress as you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not her fault, right? But
yeah.
you're gonna give her attitude, right?
I suppose.
I don't know. Well, I've never had that experience. I've shown up at a
sure.
prom in the wrong same prom dress, but you know, just based on stereotypes and stuff like that, you know, TV movies and things. But,
yeah, sure, Carl. We all know the truth.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I think that's kind of one of the things that sort of undercurrents in forums. And,
yeah.
A lot of men are rather disappointed that they're not unique and they're not the trailblazing pioneers they've been led to believe they are.
Yeah. Well, there's two other white girls who live in my building that I see occasionally walking their dogs.
Okay.
And so we talk to each other when we pass.
Okay.
But we've never made any, you know, like, oh, we live in the same building. Maybe we should have coffee sometime,
right.
You know.
Okay.
Even though there's three coffee shops in our building. you know, none of that.
Man. Yeah, probably a lot of it comes from that so many of us are Canadian, and, you know, that there's that sort of Canadian attitude where we don't want to talk to each other. We don't really do that. I mean, maybe in small towns, but, you know, in sort of the big urban centers in Toronto, it's definitely like you don't talk to anybody. You know, I lived in Toronto for, 10 years, and I was lucky if I ever said three words to my neighbor, you know.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. And then I remember when I moved to Seattle, that was a huge adjustment, you know, that...
Well, Seattle's still a big city.
Yeah, but in Seattle, strangers will just start talking to you.
Yeah.
Which was... freaks you out at first as a Canadian. It's like, you know, what are you reading? What? You know, what do you want from me?
Are you trying to steal from me?
Exactly.
What? It's like, you're a con man?
I know. It kind of freaked me out. And then, you know, your neighbors will just say, hey, you will wave to you. And then, but once you kind of get over that hump, it's like, oh, I enjoy this. I like saying hey back, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. And I like just sort of like standing behind somebody in a bank line and going, wow, you know, did you see the baseball game last night? No, I didn't. You know, things like that, right? I don't know. So it's kind of fun.
Indeed.
Yeah,
my last place in America, I didn't have a lawnmower, and my next-door neighbor would mow my lawn for me.
Yeah, they'll just do crazy things like that.
Yeah.
They're friendly.
And more than that, like, I would show up home, and my lawn would be cut. Like, it wouldn't even, like, you wouldn't even, like, come over and say, hey, do you mind if I... You know, while I'm here, like, do you mind? Do you
right.
like the way I put that? Do you mind if I cut your grass? Or, you know, would you like me to cut your grass? No, I would just get home and it'd be done. And he'd be like, oh, you know, I was cutting my grass and, you know, knew you didn't have a lawnmower.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I think, in general, it would be nicer if whiteys talked to each other more.
Yeah, I enjoyed that in Chungju. I really did.
In Korean news.
All right, in the news, I guess there's a couple things. One was sort of a big one that kind of was rather frightening and might affect some of the less discriminating of us. There's this message about police in Busan are running a sting op. So long story short is the Busan police, they're posting these fake job ads. And then when you show up to... interview for the job, they arrest you.
Well, they've had rumors that work and play, a lot of the part-time stuff is immigration.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. Unconfirmed rumors. Oh. Unconfirmed to me, I should say.
All right. So, yeah. So, I guess, you know, to review that, you know, your visa is good for your school. You cannot work outside of your visa. But there's no actual law against going on a job interview.
Right.
Yeah. And as the little message says, let's see. If you are interviewed, remember you have not broken the law because you know that to do a second job, you need immigration approval, which you are going to seek if the job panned out. So, yeah. So they're just sort of assuming you're breaking the law when, in fact, you're not really breaking the law. If they offered you a job and you accepted the job, then you'd be breaking the law. So they're kind of arresting you for something that's, you know, on suspicion that you might actually do something illegal.
Kind of like if the security guard at the store saw you put something in your pocket and didn't wait for you to leave.
Exactly, that kind of thing, yeah. So, and I guess they just kind of arrest everybody that just shows up.
Why not?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who have the F2 visas. If you're married to a Korean, you get a visa F2, which you can just work.
Yeah, you can just work.
Yeah, you can work anywhere. So, but they just assume you're guilty, arrest you, fingerprint you, and don't even like look at your passport or something. I don't know. It just sounds awful, and this is kind of coming on the heels of what I think are kind of two major embarrassments for sort of the Busan police force. There was a couple of months ago, and I believe we talked about it on this podcast, these ESL teachers, they put on like a little play down in Busan, a little comedy skit. Called Babu Palooza. And, kind of poking fun at Korean culture, but also poking fun at, English teachers. I mean, the whole range. And some people didn't quite get the joke and were a little thin-skinned and then called the cops, and then the cops arrested them for working off their visa. And, the cops were dead to rights in that case, of course. That, if you're working off your visa, really accepting money for, other work that, that immigration hasn't approved of, then you deserve what you get. It's
on the other hand, how much were they actually going to be getting paid for that performance?
Well, yeah, very, very little, exactly. But I think there was a lot of bad publicity, that it was pretty clear that it wasn't so much about...
It wasn't about the money.
The money, it was a little bit of the chin music, the ESL teachers are getting a little uppity, we're going to take them down, So, they're kind of made, I think the Busan cops are then sort of made to seem sort of, they didn't quite get the joke, They're backwards and ignorant, and so that had to sting their pride. And then there was the case of the Olympic skier, the American Olympic skier guy, Korean adoptee.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so sad.
Yeah. Basically, this guy is a Korean adoptee, adopted by two skiing instructors in Colorado, Aspen. What luck.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, but his backstory was that he... his father, he was in Busan, his father was out with him one day at a market. And
Lost him.
As
you do an infant.
Yeah.
They just, wander off in that basket of theirs.
Yeah. And so the dad then sort of spent several weeks looking for his son, but didn't go to the Busan cops for quite some time. And then eventually he went to the Busan cops, and Busan cops were like, I don't know. it's like, but the kid ended up in an orphanage. But the Busan cops are kind of like, you want to check the orphanages?
Yeah.
Nah. I don't know. So the skier eventually had a DNA test and found his real father. And the father basically said kind of like, I didn't go to the cops because, this was the 80s and the Busan cops back then were like really, really corrupt. And you just never went to the cops for anything. And so again, the Busan cops now have more international press seeming like they're, geez.
Although, I can't help but notice that when he came to Korea before he won the Olympic medal, he never managed to find his parents.
Oh, yeah?
When he wins the medal, so many people came forward that they all had to get DNA tested.
Yeah. It was like 20 people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's our kid.
Yeah,
must
exactly.
Be.
And I forgot what his name was, but he was going to come to sort of meet some of his prospective parents. But there was such a herd mentality that he's like, okay, I'm not going to come. I'm going to wait till some of them take DNA tests because, they're going to tear them to pieces. I don't know what the deal is, but yeah. So I don't know. So I'm just thinking, right, that the Busan cops must be like little triple play being kind of spent three times in fairly short order by, the English media. And so now they're trying to, we'll show them. They're trying to like, really get back or something. That's my take on the issue. Yeah, I was looking at the Korea Times today, and they had this thing about doctors, how sort of more women are moving into the medical profession, and that the medical profession, as more women in Korea move into the medical profession, the its status has been dropping.
Of course, women can get in.
Yeah. But a tragic story, but there was a line in here that actually kind of healed a very painful event I had in Korea a few years ago. Let me just read it. Being a doctor is not so attractive anymore. said Kim, pointing to the recent ranking of popular professions, a major by CareerNet, a major online employment database. Fund manager ranked first, while doctor came 18th. Fund manager.
Wow.
All right. So my pain. I was out on a date one time, years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I forget, and with this woman. And we went to the symphony. And so I was dressed up, you know, suit, tie. I'm kind of a bit of a slob today, aren't I? Can you still see?
We're not at the symphony, though.
No, yeah. You know, I ran this through the washer with some Starbucks napkins.
Excellent.
Yeah, so it's kind of, this shirt is actually, all this white stuff is, I got most of it off. But at some point, I'm just like, ah, screw it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I got a little suit on, I don't look too bad, you know. So so we're out on this date, and she was a photographer, too, and she's taking my picture, and she's just loading me up with the compliments, you know, and just totally seducing me with the compliments. And then she says, in that suit, you look like a fund manager. And it was just kind of like hitting a brick wall, you know. I'm just like, fund manager, is that? That doesn't sound good, you know. That just, it's like, no, I like accounting, you know.
Right, but yeah, I would say in the States that if someone called me up and said, you know, I want to set you up with this guy, he's really great, he's a statistician, he's an accountant, he works with numbers in some way, I would just be like, so that's what you think of me?
Exactly. So it was kind of a painful, yeah.
But see, actually, she's paying you a high compliment.
Now I realize that it was not a underhanded kind of compliment, but it was in fact a high compliment. Yeah, so there you go. And then other big news item today, the weekend paper. Foreign porn sites to be blocked.
Oh, good luck. They've been trying that for years.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, because I guess some couple nude video clips turned up on a couple...
On Yahoo.
Korea, yeah.
Yeah, I think when you pulled up the main page, it was playing some porn or something really funny like that.
Yeah, I know. So there was... it was their Janet Jackson moment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was actually even before that. The Korea's real Janet Jackson moment was... There was that show, I was at MBC, kind of a, for independent bands, and there was some band, like the Korean version of Insane Clown Posse.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, and then, the lead singer, a male, a couple of the band members, yeah, they sort of dropped their pants and were, like, parading around with their, you know, naughty bits
the
flapping around.
Yeah.
And oh my god.
Yeah, that was really funny. I think it was a live broadcast with no delay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no Korean I ever talked to seemed outraged by it, but you know, the politicians were outraged, but I don't know.
Right. You know, if any of your friends had been the parents of children who were watching that, they may have felt differently.
But, you know, yesterday I was watching, Tooniverse or something, and they had a Korean cartoon on. It's kind of this popular cartoon with this weird kid who's... It's kind of bad art. I don't know what the name of this cartoon is. I'll eventually find it and stick up a picture. But a lot of the kids are into it these days, and they're always drawing the character's picture and stuff like that. At least they're off the piles of dung...
Yeah.
Cartoons, you know.
Yeah. For the moment.
For the moment, yeah. So, but anyway, so the character is like the little cartoon boy. He's just like wearing a t-shirt and no pants. You know, and there's his little tinkle sort of like, and you know, in sack, just sort of all rendered.
Why not?
Anatomically correct, just running around on the cartoon. And I'm like, wait a second. So that was kind of, you would never see that.
No, but I've noticed the censorship is very uneven here. Well, first of all, when they play stuff like the L word at 10 in the morning, like they were doing about a year ago, you know, and stuff like that. And like sometimes stuff will be blurred out.
All right.
And sometimes it won't be. And at times that are really sort of not child-friendly, in my opinion.
Right, yeah.
You know, if it's the middle of the night and they've got some sort of Cinemax movie type thing on, okay, fair enough. But when it's, you know, mid-morning, maybe a little more discretion should be used.
But your bottom line, you're not optimistic Korea will be able to turn off the porn in Korea.
No, porn sites. Unless they install a blocker on each individual computer.
Well, they did think when the Korean guy got his head cut off in Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely were blocking sites. Like a lot of the major blogging sites, they cut those off. There was a lot of sites that were blocking.
It's a lot easier, I would think, to cut off, you know, Blogger as opposed to porn.
Yeah.
Because there's a bazillion
exactly.
porn sites.
Exactly. So I don't know. But I guess they're just going to according to the article, it's like as they get complaints.
Oh, okay.
they will start to turn those off, have the ISPs sort of block them off.
So as the mothers of teenagers do like a search history on their computer and turn them in or something like that.
I don't know.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. And this is one that's actually caused a little bit of controversy in Korea. And I never actually saw it until...
Oh, really?
Yeah, last week.
Well, they used to sell tons of them down at Itaewon.
Yeah, and the t-shirt, on the front it says, I'm not American.
Yeah.
And on the back it says, Miguk Sarem...
Aniyo.
Aniyo, something like that. Seyo, and Ani Iseyo.
Aniyo.
Yeah, it's had a little Seyo.
Aniseo, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. I took a picture, a little discreet picture of the Yankee hater. But a t-shirt sported by white people in Korea, obviously not Americans wearing this t-shirt. But how do you feel about this t-shirt, this people walking around, I'm not American, on their t-shirt?
I don't blame them. Like, in Seoul, I don't think it's that much of a thing, but, you know, again, down south.
Okay.
People would just assume you were American.
Right.
Like, even when I was first in Chunju, and by far the majority of the teachers were Canadian.
Right.
The interchangeable word for foreigner was American.
Right, yeah.
Like, it was considered, you know, there's only one possible foreign country, and that's America.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a guy down there that had a Canada Sarum. He had on a homemade
shirt.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So he was a little bit more proactive.
Yeah. Now, I don't doubt that there are a lot of non-Americans buying that t-shirt because they don't like America and they don't want to be, you know, like, how dare you?
Right.
You know, but to be charitable, I would liken it to, let's say you are from Guatemala and you're in America, right? You might wear a t-shirt that says, I'm not Mexican.
Right.
That's not saying Mexico's a bad country, you hate Mexicans. It's just, you're just trying to communicate to the people around you who make certain assumptions, you know.
Yes.
Because your skin's darker and you speak Spanish, you're all Mexicans, right?
Yeah.
So I think one can sort of view the t-shirt charitably as you're not trying to send an anti-American message, but you're just trying to educate Koreans that, you know, that there's more to this world, right, than Americans, right? That be aware that there's Canadians and British and Australians and those other people. The little islands kind of next to Australia. What do they call them?
New Zealand?
Yeah, those people. they're here too. And they won't write email.
They're too polite.
No, they're one of the few people good natured, of good humor. But yeah, and that's sort of my little take.
I had a good English t-shirt on Friday.
Oh, good. Okay.
One of my coworkers got a picture because my camera was not at school. One of the students had on a shirt that said, "Robots is my rock star."
Robots is my rock star.
Yeah.
One of your students?
Yeah.
Okay. They love the robots here.
Yeah.
I named one boy Robert, but they're like, robot, robot, robot.
Yes.
Yeah. But you kind of come into the little I'm not American topic. You were here for the, you know, the whole
the girls
yes. tank thing, right? Where it was definitely the anti-Americanism were just sort of laid bare.
Yes.
And I remember I'd come to Korea twice as a tourist. You know, loved it. And I was going to come back a third time when that whole incident really happened. And I remember looking at a picture, and there was a restaurant called Zeno in near City Hall, right under the Seoul Plaza Hotel, international hotel, where you know, business people, stuff like that, are. And on the door, you know, it had a sign saying, "No Americans."
Yeah, there were quite a few places like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
all you have to do is be, "I'm not American, I'm Canadian."
Yeah. And
they'll never know.
And that kind of made me cancel my trip. That especially because I had eaten at that restaurant the year before. And I was so freaked out by that because, I mean, it was like 9/11, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, people were obviously angry at Muslims, right? And you know, a lot of brown-skinned people did die following 9/11, you know, beat to death. There was that Sikh gas station attendant that some guy shot to death thinking he was Muslim, when Sikhs are not Muslim, right? Yeah. So, but you would never see, like, even in New York, you know, Fifth Avenue signs in fancy restaurants saying, you know, "No Arabs," right? You would never see that. But so that kind of really freaked me out. I'm like, oh, geez. And
well, on the other hand, Nashville's, when I first came to Korea, Nashville's had a no Korean policy.
Where Nashville's? Where is
it? In Itaewon, right across from the Hamilton Hotel.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, there are
those. Whiteys may have been the trailblazers in that regard.
There are some places here, oh no, they have like, no Nigerians. Yeah. And then a lot of pubs in Hongdae, no GIs, no American GIs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no Irish. Never seen that yet. No, no dogs are Irish. Oh no. But yeah, so I kind of, that kind of freaked me out because, you know, I'm Canadian, but how do you know, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't want to feel like, you know, as I sort of walked down a subway platform or something, people would be kind of like looking at me, right? Kind of like, So I don't know. So I kind of went to Japan that year for my vacation, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But were you here for that?
I was. I was actually living in Songtan, which is where the Osan Air Base is.
Okay.
And so for a little while, we stopped going to the... It's like a little mini Itaewon right in front of the base.
Right.
Actually, it's better than Itaewon, in my opinion, because like all the salesmen are there.
Okay.
But they're not like in your face.
Okay.
You know, they're not like the, need a watch, need a suit.
Right, yes. Okay.
You know, they're just there if you need them. And it's, you know, the prices are cheaper and it's quieter. But anyway, we stopped going there quite so often because there were a lot of demonstrations right at the main gate.
Right.
But over in our little corner of town, no, there's no problems.
Well, my impression is that the foreigners here, everybody sort of circled the wagons and there wasn't sort of like a... Well, I'm actually Canadian. It was a bit of like, well, we're all Americans, you know, and this kind of thing. Because we're gonna be confused as them anyway.
Right, so. Right. They're just gonna look at us and see a foreign face.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're nuts.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, Canadian American ESL teacher relations just sort of got really touchy feely huggy for a brief period of time. You know, like I got some Canadian flag stickers if you want to have them. But you know, don't worry. If we're on a platform together, I'm an American too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The other kind of English teacher finds where we sort of, it's our little umbrella for all the bizarre little things that happen. You know, your door. Do you live in an apartment?
I live in an office tell.
All right. Do you have a gate guy? Like, do you have a little?
I have about 24
gate guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nuts.
All right. Do they just let anybody into your office tell?
Of course.
All right. Okay.
I don't know really what they do. There's one that sits and waves to people as they come and go.
Okay.
And like three sit in the office and a couple more mill around.
All right.
And so there's, I think, about 6 on duty at a time.
Okay.
Doing nothing as far as I can tell.
Now, does this happen to you that someone rings your doorbell and then you eventually go answer it, and there's nobody there, and then you find like a little flyer taped to your door saying, you know, kimbap shop, new kimbap shop or something has just opened, you know, within 800 miles of your office tell, and somehow 9:30 Saturday morning.
Good time to ring the bell.
Yeah, they want you to know. You've got to know now. So right. Yeah, I don't know. That sort of just freaks me out.
No, those usually the people leaving flyers don't ring the bell, but sometimes the guards will do like an apartment search.
Okay.
Is what I call it.
They
like
sweep?
They come around and you just have to sign a form.
Okay.
Showing that you live there.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're trying to keep track of which units are occupied or which units are offices, or I'm not exactly sure what.
Because they wouldn't have any records, right?
Right. No clue.
Okay, man. Yeah. But I don't know. This is sort of like, that's my one irritation.
Yeah.
Another time, too, it was, in my apartment, it's like there's an A building and a B building.
Yeah, I've got four.
Yeah, so. And so people get confused by that, too.
Yes.
So I get a lot of delivery people, you know, wrong apartment and stuff like that. But one time, there was like, and a lot of times you just don't answer my door because nobody I know is coming over, right?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I can't talk to the people on the other side of the door, and it's going to totally freak them out if I open the door and there's a whitey, and they're going to be like, you know? So, yeah. The only two people you got to kind of open your door for are the gas people. They come around once or twice a year.
Make sure that you haven't, cut a big hole in the line or something.
Yeah, they check your gas. And then there's the bug people. They put some bug killer or something,
always like pretend that there's some horrible contagion in my house or something.
Really?
Because I've never had bugs in that apartment.
Me either.
And I have a cat, and
and
I live there, so I really don't want all the sprays.
Right,
like, I feel like they're probably one step away from PCP or not PCP. What was the other one? DDT.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Getting my drugs mixed up.
At least not good for your cat.
Yeah.
But, so generally I don't open my door. You know, I look through my little spyglass.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have a
phone? I got a little hole. No, not a video phone thingy. I just got a little, spyglass in my door. So I look, and it's not someone from my school, and it's not anybody. No, I'm not going to answer the door. And it doesn't look like a gas person or something like that. So, but one time there was like a ding dong. Doorbell rings, and I sort of look, and there's some woman standing outside, and she's wearing like a GS25 uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, the convenience store, GS25. Yeah. And there's a GS25 in my building, and she's ringing my doorbell. I'm like, well, I have no idea why she's ringing my doorbell, so I don't answer it, right? And so she just keeps hammering it, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, and then bam, bam, just pounding as hard as she freaking can on my door. And then, does your door have one of those little weird cat holes at the bottom?
I think it's a milk door. No, mine.
It's something.
Doesn't.
All right. Yeah. So it's like this two-way thingy.
Was she like trying to stick her hand?
Yeah. So she opens it and she's kind of trying to look through, you know. And finally, I'm like, sweet Jesus Christ. But I'm very polite. It's like, I open the door, and she's like, oh. And I sort of shake my head like, what? And she walks away.
Okay.
No idea. I don't know. To this day, I'll live 1,000 years and I'll never know.
One of the convenience stores in my building delivers.
Okay.
So she might have had
No, she didn't look like she was there on no delivery.
Oh, okay.
She looked pissed off about something.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe somebody ripped her off or something.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like Saturday even. There was a little doorbell. Ding dong. And I was in the shower. And again, I think it's some guy leaving a flyer or whatever. So I don't get out of the shower.
Yeah.
And then ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, and then pounding on the door and trying to open the door.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I look at the little, now I just, wet, naked, and I just
trapped in water. You should have opened the door
that way. Yeah, I know. So I look at the door and there's some little grade school boy out there. So I'm like, there's a lot of, I'm an office tell, a lot of the offices are for, little private study, you know, tutoring things, all highly illegal.
Yeah, we had an English one next door to us for a while.
Yeah. It's one a couple doors down from me. The Think of English. So you know you're getting a quality education there.
Yeah.
The Think of English. And I always try to, like, if the guy is coming out of his door, I try not to look at him because I don't want to, like, your English has got to really suck, dude. I don't know. I don't want to give him that look. Betray that look on my face. Insult him that way. But yeah. All right, so fines. So I'm like, oh, stupid kid. You know, either got the buildings mixed up or maybe it's a couple doors down. Whatever. So I go back, shower. Back to my shower. He comes back like 2 minutes later again. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Bam, bam, bam. Ding dong. You know, like, kid, put it together. You know?
Yeah.
So then... And I'm gonna beep this out for the podcast. I shout, get the fuck out of the store, you mother piece of there and little ass. As loud as I can shout. And I'm sure, but I know for a fact he probably can pick out some of those swear words.
Well, they're in his comics.
Yeah, and he went away. No more ringing. So now I'm thinking, like, Jesus, is he going to go home and, like, Mom, the heck went on and used all these terrible words to me? And she's going to call him up and yell at him, and I don't know.
That'd be really funny.
But it felt good, because you know, sometimes you want to just let go a string of expletives with your own students.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Yes.
Got to be professional. But
save them for other kids.
Yeah. So after, like, you know, 3.5 years, I finally got to just let go like a sailor on some 10-year-old. It was good. You never had anybody weird come to your door or anything?
There's a Jehovah's Witness guy who comes around once a month to bring me the latest guidepost.
Oh, great. Okay.
And he always wants to come in and talk about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm always busy when he comes.
Yeah.
And I always shall be busy.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, have you had the Church of God, People and Soul?
Oh, I think I was walking, it was right after, remember, oh, last week I was telling about the guy who was like, is he your sex partner?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then right at, like, a few blocks later, light, I got one of those Church of God people.
They are insane.
Yeah. And it was a young guy, and he's sort of shoving this, and they have the English literature, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're targeting foreigners.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And I just sort of look down, and I see, like, something Elohim or something. And, you know, they use two words for God in the Old Testament, Yahweh and Elohim. And it's always the really freaky Christian religions use Elohim for some reason, like... He's going to come on his spaceship and take us to the, you know.
Yeah.
First, we have to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just sort of see this Elohim. And I'm trying to be polite, you know. And you know, no thank you. Come sit me down. Yeah. And he just keeps trying to, like, get me to take it or read it or something.
Yeah.
So finally, I just sort of look at him. And after I had this, you know, guy with that, is he your sex partner? You know, I'm just like... He's not taking the hint, and I'm not. My temper's a little bit short.
No, they do not.
Yeah. So I just say, Korean word for God is Hananim. So I just say, Hananim Opsayo. Opsayo means does not exist, right? Which is kind of the way you sort of say, like, I don't have something. You
yeah.
sort of say, it does not exist.
Well, that means that you need to be saved all the more.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So and I kind of point to my head, like, I don't know the Korean word for think. So I just sort of point to my head, like, this is what I think. Just back off. And you can kind of see him sort of getting like, oh, I know 14 different, you know, arguments for the existence of God.
Yeah.
You know, like the banana. The banana is the most perfect fruit in the world. It can only have been designed by God. So says Kirk Cameron. Something like that, you know. And, but then he's like, the light changes and I walked off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've, been staking out. There's a pedestrian area that goes from Sunae Station to Seohyun Station in Bundang, and
above ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little promenade kind
yeah,
of. Yeah, it's quite nice. Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Except when every 10 feet is a pair of Church of God people, and it's always a pair, and they always come and totally invade your personal space. At an angle where you would actually have to step back and do an about face to politely get away from them. As in, like, not just push them down.
Right.
And I think they've been trained on that, so like people can't just walk away. And they target foreigners, and they have this thing about the mother of God. And so, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I was also, you know, being from the South, you have to be nice to people, and we're in a foreign right. country, you have to be nice to our yeah. host nation. You know, so I have a really hard time just looking in people's faces and telling them what I really think yeah. they can do with themselves.
And the horse they rode in on.
Yeah, and so they'll stop me and they'll ask me, do I know the Mother of God? And I'll say, why, yes, I do, it's Mary. And they'll say, no. And they'll completely freak out that I should even let such blasphemy escape my lips. And then they'll start to, like, teach me the correct things. And it really kills me because they're always out at lunchtime doing that. It's when I'm going from my Korean class to school.
Okay.
I'm like, has it not occurred to you that this is lunchtime? Foreign teachers are either on their lunch hour or they're on their way to class.
Right.
Chances are they're not just strolling around killing time. And if they were, they probably didn't want you to come up and tell them that their belief in God is completely going to send them to hell.
So who is the Mother of God, according to thee?
Oh, well, you have to let them, like, come to your home and tell you.
Oh crap.
Yeah.
It's like the Mormons. They just won't send you that Book of Mormon, you
right,
know.
Right, you have to earn it.
Exactly. You got to let them come over. But, you know, it's like the Mormons. I got to admit, of all the God recruiters, the Mormons are, well, one, they're young guys, yeah. nice haircuts. And they speak Korean. They're yeah. probably the only, you know, foreign missionaries that really learn the language. And they'll come up to you, and if you say, oh no, thank you, they go, okay, and they walk away.
Very polite.
Yeah, they're very, very polite.
The ones in Chunju didn't even proselytize to other foreigners.
Yeah, so yeah. yeah.
And they offer free English lessons. Now, it's like Bible English or something,
sure.
but I think that's a really nice marketing ploy.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it is... You know, if you can't afford English lessons and you would like English lessons, why not?
Yeah.
You know.
When you peel back the onion of Mormonism, there's some weird stuff there.
There really is, yes. But, you know, whatever.
But they're such nice people. It's weird. Yeah. They're just so different from everybody else you kind of
yeah.
meet and know. They don't jump up and down like, you know, like little jackhammers going, Jesus, 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 until
yeah.
you go...
Week's teaching opportunity.
Right, job opportunity of the week. This is from the guy who used to advertise he wanted ugly English teachers, and Rowan. He's got. Have you encountered?
Actually,
that?
I know him.
Oh, you do.
He's actually quite a nice guy.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I never talked to him like in person, voice, but just email when I sort of told him about the podcast, and you know, we sort of. Liked his little ads. He seemed a really nice guy. So, well, that's good. All right, so he's got a new little come on line now. It's, you mum needs to know you're safe. I kind
of... Should be your mum. Yeah.
Yeah, you mum. Well, I think it's kind of a little bit of a Australian
slang. Yeah, yeah,
he's Australian. Right, yeah.
That's how I know him.
Yeah, have you met him?
Yeah, yeah, I met him a couple times.
Oh, okay.
My husband's Australian, and
oh, of course,
they
right, yes.
used to get together and watch the Australian football together.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah. So Rowan, and he has a job, three teachers needed, young in city.
It's out in my neck of the woods.
Yeah. Salary, $2.5 million. Sounds a wee little high. I'm always very kind of gun-shy about...
But if it's at a golf resort, it's... Probably that same sort of high-energy English camp kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's probably combination childcare English lesson.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't put that out, but yeah, it's at a golf resort. Comments. Resort with free use of all amenities. Restaurants. Free use of all amenities. Does that mean you get to eat the restaurants
free?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Sauna. Yeah. Golf driving range. Swimming pool. Gym. Jim's good. Oh yeah, you can do a bit of teaching too. Well, let's hope. Yeah. I don't mind earning my keep, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so teaching schedule, 10 to 6 p.m., 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So that's not too bad.
Typical kindergarten schedule.
Yeah, age of student kindergarten.
Yeah.
And again, not for everybody. You better really like children.
Yeah. Really like children. And very high energy.
Yeah, exactly.
And very patient, able to deal with kids who suddenly burst into tears for no apparent reason.
Exactly. You know. Yeah. But the other thing about Yong and City is Everland. It's where Everland
is. Yes.
Yeah. So it's which is a kind of like a big theme park in Korea.
And it is close enough to Seoul that you can easily get to Seoul, but you sort of get that sort of real Korea experience of being outside of Seoul.
Yeah, the thing you really like. The immersive thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right. So there's you can't get to it by the subway yet.
No.
Yeah. They are sort of, I think the Busan line, they're going to extend
Busan line.
Did I say the
Bundang line?
Sorry, the Bundang line.
The Bundang line, I'm sure, will eventually reach to Yongin.
Yeah, I think the Bundang line there extending down there.
It's halfway to Suji now, and Suji is the town in between Bundang and Yongin.
Oh, okay. So, but there's a lot of, well, obviously, since it's Everland, a major theme park, there's a lot of shuttle buses between, the city, so that's not bad. They might be kind of ultra crowded. That might be a downside. I don't know. I've never actually gone down to Everland.
No, I can tell you from personal experience, the buses that go all the way to Yongin are no more crowded than the buses to Bundang.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, what about screaming kids? Maybe there's screaming kids on these. That's something to think. Yeah. But, so if you love theme parks, and there's also a water park there, too.
Yeah, Caribbean Bay, which is Caribbean Bay. Part of Everland, but a separate ticket.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, yeah. So maybe get yourself a season pass. That'd be kind of cool. Start date May 1st. So we're still in March.
Wow, planning ahead.
Exactly. So again,
that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a really good opportunity. So downside is, you're not close to Seoul or Starbucks.
I'm sure they have plenty of Starbucks in Yongin.
Yongin? I don't think there's any Starbucks there.
In Yongin? There's got to be. It's a big enough city.
Well, I'll check that.
Check
that, yeah. It's a bit hard to read the Starbucks site now because it's all in Hangul. It used to be bilingual, English and Korean, but now it's all in Hangul. So I mean, I can read the Hangul, but I'm not at the point where it just scans, you know? Like, Gangnam just jumps out at me.
Yeah.
Like, it would in English, So, yeah. So I kind of got to look and...
Yeah, it's got to be really big font.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So you can email Rowan, ROWANESLPlanet, all one word, @gmail.com. Again, this will be up on our website at www.gokorea.info, and then click on our little blog. I'm sure you all know how to get there by now. Our live journal site, gokorea.livejournal.com, for the actual direct link. Yeah. Have you been to Everland?
I have been to the car museum, and that's all.
Jeez. All right. Yeah, I've never been to Everland. I've been to Lotte World a few times before they started killing people.
Yeah.
It's Lotte World. It's an amusement park in Seoul.
Inside, indoor amusement park.
Yeah, it's an indoor-outdoor. And, I was really skeptical. I'm like, how good could it be right in the heart of the city? Like, it can't be very... But it's amazing what they actually do with their limited space. It's definitely... Well, unless they... Now that they're killing people, I would maybe hesitate to go there. But back when they weren't into killing their patrons, it was quite a good value, I thought. Yeah, like, they'll never go on like Saturday or Sunday, forget it. But when you kind of get your time off from work, a day off from work or something, it's kind of nice to go.
Yeah.
And looked at it. There was it was like some ride or something. Somebody got on the ride drunk, and then they didn't put their safety bar down. And it was an inverting roller coaster. And then he sort of kind of fell to his death. And
And there was the woman who died also at Lotte World, or was she at Everland?
No, it was Lotte World, I think.
Yeah, she got on the ride and then changed her mind.
Right, but she tried to get off.
And she did get off, but it was after the guy had come around and made sure everybody's seatbelts were fastened.
Yeah.
And it was out of range of the security cameras.
Okay.
And so they didn't see that she was standing on the platform, which apparently didn't have clearance when the ride was in motion.
All right.
And so somehow it led to her death.
Yeah. It's not really their fault. It's more people trying to be...
people being stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
Darwinian failures, but...
You know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, at some point people have to take responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah,
if you're going to get off of a ride, you know, if I were going to get off a ride, I would make sure that I was really completely off and out of the way, you know, in a timely fashion.
But the stupid thing they did was after these sort of tragic incidents, they had like a free day.
Free ticket day.
Yeah, free ticket day.
How many people died? And then I don't think anybody died.
Nobody died, but some people went to the hospital. Yeah.
I think dozens of people went to the hospital, actually. It was pretty foul.
Yeah, there was a big crush of people. I mean, and even in any normal day, there's a big crush.
But what really amused me is the reason that they had that free day was because people were threatening to boycott based on that person's death.
The apparent lack of safety.
People were threatening to boycott, so to thank the people that were still willing to come, they had this free day, and hundreds of thousands of people were there before the gates even opened. And I want to say like 70 people were injured.
There were definitely some injuries.
I mean,
nothing super critical.
Really,
but
bad.
Yeah.
Well, just the sheer number, right. I thought was
wasn't
really
wasn't
bad.
Like that Ajumma concert. Do you remember that?
No.
Well, it was some concert. Like it was like Ajumma, Ajushi band, you know, like some 70s crooner.
Some sort of trope music kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a trot music. That's the term. But it was like a WHO concert in Cleveland, you know, it was like, or Cincinnati, you know, it was like all these Ajummas just rushed the stage.
God.
And they trampled people. People are trampled to death.
Trampled. Well,
yeah. Like
Ajummas trample people in the subway.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
50-year-old women just rushing the stage and trampling each other to death. And, whoa. Yeah. So, so then Lotte World decides, like, you know, on the heels of this, you know, carnage for this Ajumma concert, that they're like people will get in line, you know, we have a free day, and no one sort of thinks wristband policy, you know, like maybe we'll just give out wristbands, you know, distribute the wristbands around the city, you know like at maybe Lotte Marts, and then once the wristbands are gone.
Yeah, like the big soccer matches. The tickets are sold at certain convenience stores.
Yeah.
And they could just do the same thing. Give an allotment to different convenience stores.
Yeah.
And then there'd be no death crushes.
Yeah. So I think after all that, then I think Lotte, where they've shut down for several months now, and they're kind of retooling and trying to improve safety and crowd control and stuff
like
that.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, all right. But Everland, I think, they're safe. And that's our show. Anything you want to add, Jennifer? How's your Cotisol thing going?
Oh, good. Seminar.
Pump the Cotisol.
The workshop is next weekend.
Okay.
Registration begins at 12 at Sungshil University.
Website.
Oh, cotisol.org. So www.cotisol.org. And click through, go to chapters, or it might say regional, something like that, and then Seoul, and it'll show you a map, a printable color map that even has like the path marked to walk from the subway.
Wow.
Yeah, that service.
Did you tell your boss about the podcast and you're pumping it up?
My boss? No.
You're the imperial wizard of Cotisol.
The president.
Sure,
the chapter president.
Right. Whatever you're...
Yes, I did. And by the way, if you are a Cotisol member, or if you would like to go and join next weekend, elections are next weekend, and I am up for vice president, so, you know, come get out the vote.
Yeah, well, I hope, you know, I mean, you're promoting it. better than any other member has ever promoted Cotisol before.
Indeed.
Shh. Wonder, has anybody even joined? Like, I heard it on the podcast. Sounds like the greatest idea in the world.
Well, I don't think we've had a meeting since I've been doing this. Maybe just one.
Sniff around. Sniff around. Yeah, find out if we're actually having an influence on anything. Yeah. All right. So, I did see that Diet Your Point card commercial.
Diet Your Point card, yes. Oh, did I tell you that I found out what it's for?
What was it for?
It is for combining all of your point cards.
Right, okay. Yeah. Some master point card plan. Yeah. Number of the beast kind of thing. Yeah. 666.
So you only have one card to lose or whatever.
Right. So the blue helmets from the United Nations come to take over and confiscate all the point cards. That the whole Church of God people have gotten into this whole conspiracy thinking.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our show. Again, send us email, your questions, hate mail, etc. to gokorea@gmail.com, www.gokorea.info. I'm Carl, of course, and Jennifer.
Yeah. That's me.
Maybe John will be back next week. John's got to tell us about how he's made new friends with his Tim Hortons coffee. I don't know. And you brought some brownies. Did you mention the brownies? Yeah, I don't think you mentioned the brownies.
No, I made brownies. I was supposed to have lunch with some coworkers tomorrow, but they contacted me today and said we'll have lunch on Thursday instead. So brownies will probably not be at their peak of taste by Thursday. So I brought some for Carl.
Oh, thank you very much. All right, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.